At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you, Simon. So I love musicals. I don't know about you, but just love musicals, whether it's on film or whether it's going to the West End or to Broadway. I'm frequent at Broadway. It's an area in Belfast. But musicals are great, so I'm going to have a little quiz. We're going to show you some pictures, and I want you to tell me where these are from. Bobby at the back got them all right, except for one. But we'll see what you think. What musical would this be? Sorry? Les Mis. Yes. Les Miserables. It's really good. Yes. Any noise songs from it? I was tempted. I said to Dawn, I'm going to have a quiz this morning. I'm going to sing the songs and see if they know what musical they're from, but I thought, no, I'm only joking. I'm only going to show the pictures. What would this be from? You're very educated people. The Phantom of the... Yeah, okay. Number 3. Oh, you've all gone quiet now, haven't you? Sorry? No? Sorry? No. There's a slight clue in the wording at the bottom where you see an S-H-A-K, and it's the beginning of something, and it's kind of based on something. Yeah. Now, the music's called Kiss Me, Kate. It's based on The Taming of the Shrew. They're singing here. They're singing here. Do you know what the song they're singing? What is that? Something up your Shakespeare. Brush up your Shakespeare. That's right. Anyway. Yeah. The hills are alive. Yeah. Well done, Sound of Music. No. Oklahoma. You know that one, look? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, well, never mind. You're too young. Yeah, it's more that famous line. Yeah, My Fair Lady. Well done, Alan. You're good at these. My Fair Lady. Coming up towards the end. One more. Calamity Jane. Once I had a secret love. Yeah, and finally. What? West Side Story. Yeah. Do you know what they're going to sing here? What? Is that tonight, Maria, or is that two separate songs? Yeah. He sings Maria when he's on his own. Maria, I just met a girl named Maria. I think they're going to sing, this is tonight, isn't this? This is the kind of balcony scene from Shakespeare again, isn't it? Romeo and Juliet, but the West Side Story. Tonight. Beautiful musical. Great, lovely, fantastic songs. Anyway, musicals are great. They're very entertaining. And we're going to be thinking about musicals over the next 4 weeks. Yeah, we're going to be thinking about musicals. We're going to be thinking about 4 songs from musicals. We're going to be thinking about the songs of Advent. Musicals are great. You got the kind of big production numbers that kind of maybe begin and end a scene where the whole cast are involved, the chorus is involved, and they're kind of ending a part of the plot or beginning a part of the plot. That's very important. There's big production numbers. Others are more character-based. Sometimes there are romantic ballads where the person is expressing how they feel. I just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. And tonight, today we are looking at the first of those, and it's Mary's Song. Mary's Song, which is one of those. It's not a ballad, it would be a catchy tune, it would be an up-tempo tune, because it's a tune full of joy. But it's one individual saying how they feel, how they feel. And this is Mary's Song, known as the Magnificat. It's called the Magnificat because in the Latin version, the very first word where it says, my soul will magnify the Lord, it's the Latin word Magnificat, and so it became known as the Magnificat. But there's this wonderful part in Luke chapter 1. Of Mary's Song. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking of various songs, some big production numbers. But they're all about this plot, all about a story that is being unfolded. It's the Advent. It's the Christmas story, which is probably one of the greatest stories of all. But this song of Mary is like sometimes when you get on a musical, sometimes they'll take a musical theme and they'll repeat that musical theme maybe to different lyrics. Or sometimes they'll take a similar lyric, but they'll have a different tune to it. But there's a kind of overtones of something you've heard before. There's a consistency in it all. And Mary's Song is exactly the same. If you had time to go through all of this, you would find echoes of Hannah's song from the Old Testament, Hannah who gave birth to Samuel in 1 and 2 Samuel. But you'll find overtones of Habakkuk. You'll find overtones of the Psalms. You'll find overtones in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zephaniah. There's all of these thoughts being brought out in this one song. Because Mary knew the Bible, her Old Testament. She knew the Bible. And so from within, when she wanted to praise God in this act of worship, all the stuff from within was there. And it came out in this beautiful song. And I think that is a lesson for us as well. We need to know God's word. Even to pray sometimes. When you can't find words of your own, but you can pray God's words. You can pray the Bible, but you can't do that if you don't know it. Even this morning I was saying to the choir, before I came, there was a million things in my head, and my mind was all over, and just that verse from Philippians chapter 4 that we've been looking at these last few weeks. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, bring your request to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will fill your heart and your mind. That kept coming into my mind. But if I didn't know it, it wouldn't be there. I would simply be stressed all the time. But God can say, don't be anxious about anything. So we need to know God's scripture. We need to know God's word. It's really, really important. But Mary did. But this was, as I said earlier, this was a fulfillment of an expectation in the Old Testament. Back in Isaiah, didn't he say, a virgin will be with child? We'll be reading it on the 11th of December, a scripture that we know really well, a prophecy. But suddenly this prophecy was coming true. And Mary's response is the proper response, and it's a response of worship. Because what did this mean? When the angel said to Mary, she would bear the Son of God, the Holy Spirit would come upon her. What did that mean, not just to her, but to the whole of the plot, the storyline, God's storyline? This was God fulfilling a promise he had made right at the very beginning and that had been repeated and echoed and filled out all the way through the Old Testament. And suddenly it was becoming reality. It's here. Emmanuel, God with us. So Mary breaks out into this spontaneous worship. And worship is always appropriate. Do you remember as we've been looking at the book of Philippians and Paul? It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Worship and joy is always an appropriate response. And so it is here. Our lives are a constant stream of worship. No, my life isn't a constant stream of worship. Yes, your mind, your life is a constant stream of worship. Because you're either worshiping the Lord or you're worshiping something else. That's just the way we're made. Where are our affections laid? Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You've got to give your heart to one. But your heart will be given to God and money, or God and ambition, or God. But we're always worshiping. But the proper response, the proper object of our worship is God. He is the Lord. And that's what she says in verse 46. My Lord, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Two words, Lord and Savior. My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She worships the Lord, the creator of all things, because that's what Lord means. He is the master. He is the boss. When he spoke and said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, let the land and sea divide, it divided. He is the Lord. He made the universe. He sustains the universe by the power of his mighty word. And she's praising this Lord who is everything. And she's also praising her Savior. Mary was a blessed girl, but she was a sinner in need of a Savior. But she had found the Savior. In fact, she was bringing him into the world. But she praised this Lord and this Savior who rescues us from our sin, from our brokenness. But she sings praises. And why does she do that? Well, she does it for what God has done for her. Verse 48. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She praises God because he remembers her and her humble state. Now, Mary had every reason to be scared stiff. She was very young. 14, 15. She was pregnant. She was unmarried. She was poor. She was probably uneducated. If anyone had reason to be frightened about the future or her present predicament, it was Mary. But was she scared? But she praised her Lord and Savior. This wonderful, exuberant song, despite her circumstances, maybe because of her circumstances, because she knew that God was in her life. She doesn't quite know what the future holds, but she knows who holds the future, and she praises him for it. And the God who has done great things for her has also lavished his grace on you and on me. What, really? Me? Yeah. All of us. In what way? Isn't it always good to stop and think about how God has blessed you? Deborah, our daughter, was away for the last couple of months in Brazil and found it tough sometimes. But on one of her blogs, she said about making a joy list, reasons to be happy, reasons to be thankful, writing it down. And for some people, journaling is a really good thing. People who journal every day, I wish I could do that. I'm not disciplined enough. But people who could keep a diary of what God has done that day. He has blessed me in this way, this way, this way, this way. And I know if we did that, we would have a long list every day. We all have reasons to be thankful, for God has lavished his goodness upon every one of us. We are all recipients of God's amazing grace. And Mary recognizes this, that she's blessed, despite what it looks like to the rest of the world, and who knows what it looked like to everybody around her. But she knew that she was blessed. Gabriel spoke to her and said, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You will have a special child. And she, Mary, this young girl, would carry this child into the world. But do you know what? So do we. That is our task. We carry this child, this Lord, this Savior, into the world. If we don't carry him into the world, who will? But she had the privilege and responsibility of carrying this child into the world, and so do we, that the world may see, that the world may come, that the world might be saved. God had a plan to send one who would bless the whole world, who would bring us everything we need. It's a promise at the very beginning. The promise unfolded in this epic Advent, this epic time. God was doing something special. Verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary could see her story and how God was with her, but she saw the bigger picture. She saw how her story, her little story, big event, but her little story fitted into God's awesome story. And all of us have got a story, and all our stories fit into this big story. For all of history is his story. From the very beginning to the very end, what is God doing? And our story fits in there. And every story, your story, is important. But it's important to see how your story fits into the bigger plan. Not just about little old me, but Lord, what are you doing in my life? And so we question everything. Lord, what should I be studying at school? What exam should I be aiming for? What job do you want me to do? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to live? What church do you want me to be a part of? How can I reach out into my neighborhood or my family? Seeing our story in his big story, because it's his story that is the perfect story, that is the important story, the beginning and the end. His mercy extends to all those who fear him from generation to generation. She praises the mighty one in verse 49 and the one who has done mighty deeds in verse 51. With the birth of Jesus, a new age had come. It's almost like the world held its breath, even though the world didn't know. But a new age had come, a new kingdom was coming with a new king. Something amazing was happening in the birth of Jesus. And he was bringing a kingdom that wasn't like the kingdoms of the world. It was an upside down kingdom, where the first would be last and the last would be first. Where those who wanted to be leaders had to be servants, and those who were servants would be leaders. He was turning the world upside down. That was his purpose. Verse 51, he is a God who gathers the humble but scatters the proud. Those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. The psalmist talks about the fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And many people throughout every age, including today, are in denial. There is no God. But to think like that in your innermost heart, to really feel that there is no God, is a bit like jumping off the Empire State Building and saying there is no gravity. There is a fundamental flaw in that thinking, and the results are not pretty. He is the mighty one who does mighty things. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, but Mary knew that there was, and that he was with her, and that he was within her. Verse 52, he has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has brought down the mighty, but he has lifted up the humble. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. There is no authority on earth that cannot be brought down. He did it with Pharaoh, most powerful man in the world, and brought out his people to protect his people, to rescue his people. He did it with King Nebuchadnezzar, which is an amazing story if you read it in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, the most powerful man in the world. He had everything. But he was proud. And Daniel warned him that if he didn't change his attitude, God would bring him down. He said that to him. I'm warning you, if you don't change your attitude, God will dethrone you. God will make you like an animal of the field. Then 1 year later, King Nebuchadnezzar was out walking on the roof of his palace, looking at beautiful Babylon, and said, look at this amazing place that I have made for my glory. And scripture tells us that at that very moment, it says, the Lord's were still on his lips when a voice from heaven came. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle. And this great man, this most powerful man in the world, that's what happened. He lost his sanity. He was driven away from all civilization. He lived like an animal, eating grass for 7 years until he lifted his eyes to heaven and his sanity was restored. God can do anything. There is no one too big, strong, or powerful, not even today. Our God is the mighty one who has done mighty things. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry, it's a very important word, hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away. Another picture of an upside down kingdom. He has fed the hungry, but he's driven away the rich. Mary knew that one day God's kingdom would come. The scriptures were full of this expectation, and Mary was hungry for God's kingdom to come. And as John Stott says, hunger is still an indispensable condition of spiritual blessing, while complacent self-satisfaction is its greatest enemy. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you hunger for God's kingdom? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. But are our lives too self-focused, too lazy, too indulgent, too He can only fill us when we're hungry for Him. And when we're hungry, He does. What are we hungry for? Mary was hungry for God's kingdom to come. She's a beautiful example, a role model in humility and hunger after God. Because she was hungry, she was ready when God came calling. Verse 54, as we kind of wrap this up, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Those of us who believe, we are descendants of Abraham, and God helps us. This is the faithful God. This is the forever God. He remembers and helps forever, it says. God is not just a God of the moment or of the past. He is the God of forever. And for those of us who love Jesus and follow Jesus, he is the one that walks with us to help us. He doesn't abandon us. No matter what our position is, no matter what life stage we're at, no matter what circumstances we're in, and everybody has challenging circumstances. Some have very challenging circumstances, but God is the God who's faithful and who helps. So with this little song, we see Mary worshiping. That's what we should do. She sees Mary being thankful for what God has done in her life. That's what we should do. We see Mary seeing the big picture of God reaching out into a needy world. That's what we should do. We see Mary remembering that God helps his people, does not abandon his people, looks after them and walks with them forever. And that's what we should do. This beautiful song, Mary's song, can we sing it? Blessed be your name. In the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when things are tough and hard. I will bless the Lord. I will magnify the Lord. We're going to use the words of a song to do that says, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's stand and worship him.